The episode you're about to listen to is from an unreleased episode of an earlier incarnation of the Away Team. These were Adam and I's first impressions of Star Trek Discovery back in 2017. There may be issues with events and future events within the show, but this hasn't been heard since it was deleted from the internet back in 2018. Sit back and enjoy.
Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chill.
Welcome to the Away Team, a Star Trek podcast. A podcast that is designed to comment and critique each episode of Star Trek in canonical order, with a bit of a twist. The Away Team presents Star Trek Discovery Recap, our recap special discussing the latest episodes of the latest Star Trek series. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Yeah, now we're back with, what is this, episode 11?
Yeah.
Episode 11 of the...
It was so good! I'm sorry.
The Wolf Inside. Yeah, it was.
Wolf Inside My Dick. Wait.
What?
I don't know. I just really like the episode, okay? I'm excited.
All right. So before we head into that, we have a couple little things. One thing I wanted to mention to you guys, there is a movie coming out. I guess when this episode's released was just Friday, so today. It's called Please Stand By. It stars Dakota Fanning, and believe it or not, it is a Star Trek movie. The concept is simple. Paramount, I guess, had a contest for someone to write a script for Star Trek, and Dakota Fanning plays a Star Trek fan, a special kind of Star Trek fan, I guess we should say, and writes a script and decides to go to Los Angeles to actually pitch the idea. Along the way, of course, you know, things happen. She runs into a Klingon-speaking Patton Oswalt. Which, of course, fits.
Which makes more sense than it should.
I know.
Really.
It's just kind of like, oh, it's the least surprising thing of the whole thing.
Right.
And I saw trailers for it about a couple weeks ago, and people were saying, oh, it's a Star Trek trailer. And I was like, what? And then I finally watched it, and I was like, oh, wow, that's actually kind of cool. So you know, it's just something I thought would be kind of cool, especially since this is a Star Trek podcast. I figured, you know, kind of nice to send out there. And then... Before we get into the episode, there's one fan theory that kind of came out over the last week. Now, given that we are essentially 1 week behind in this show, if this theory proves to be true or false, the episode comes out. We could record this on Sunday when the new episode comes out, so that's why we're behind. So if there is something behind all that, save your tweets and emails that like, oh, they already did that. So, because we don't know at this point, we haven't watched the episode because we're too busy doing this shit. Is really what we're right. What we're trying to say. So there seems to be a fan theory that Captain Lorca is from the Mirror Universe. I have the link to the article from TrekMovie.com. I sent it out to Adam to kind of see, and it's an interesting hypothesis. And given the fact that everybody kind of did that whole thing with, you know, Valk, and we kind of get the answer to that, you know, that's
Valk, son of no one.
Yeah, exactly. We get that in this episode. It seems that some, you know, this fan theory, I kind of think it's true. I kind of believe that, you know, it's there is variations of it of being true that somehow because of some of the instances they mentioned in here where he really can't kind of seem to grasp, you know, come to grips right away about a parallel universe and all of that stuff in a mirror, and he didn't really seem as surprised as everyone else, you know, about the seeing themselves and things like that, and the fact that he's supposed to be MIA, and that now he doesn't seem to be so keen to get back to, you know, what we would call, I guess, Star Trek Prime, the non-Kelvin universe. You know, there's a lot of things that you can kind of see, and you know, and there's some screenshots in there, like when they were doing all the jumps, and then Lorca put in an override, and it gave a location of unknown, and that.
And I went back and watched that episode, and it did happen. Yeah. I was like, "What the fuck?" And I didn't notice it the first time, though.
Well, it's because everything.
Like, I think I was just so into the action. And he was just typing on the and usually in Star Trek, the fucking captain will type on his little armrest thing, and he's just typing nonsense.
Yeah, we see Picard, you know, do it, I mean, all the, like, time, you know?
Yeah, Picard just over there playing fucking some game. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. I'm sorry.
So, you know, there's a lot of that, you know, and then also his moral code is not traditionally Starfleet, which we've kind of seen, where, you know, he's like pushing people and pushing things. And, you know, someone even said that it's possible that, you know, him and Michael could have possibly been, you know, been something, because, you know, he did search out Michael, you know, and then, you know, bring her up aboard the ship and all of that stuff. So, and conveniently they're both not there, you know, It's interesting. And then, you know, so there's a lot of things that, you know, you kind of look at and you're kind of like, I could kind of see, you know, kind of see that could be something. So, you know, if it comes out in this episode, because we only have a few episodes left, so most likely if we find out, it's probably going to be in this new episode. So it's kind of interesting. And I was reading, I'm going, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. Like, I could see that actually being a thing, and I would be okay with it. It's not something that I would, because, you know, we don't really hear about Captain Lorca in the annals of Star Trek history.
I mean, but should we?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Nor do we hear Spore Drive, because we know the Spore Drive thing doesn't go anywhere. So
yeah, there's a lot going on. Like, it would be great, and this was our stuff. This is some of the negatives we said at the beginning, where a lot of the, like, the Spore Drive, especially, like, this was never talked about. Right. And then we kind of argued it off, like, well, it's probably a fucking top secret ship or whatever.
Well, we know it was section, blah, 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 blah. That section, what, 31 or 21 or something like that? Yeah.
I think it's 31. It's like, okay. But what if it's more than that? What if it's fucking, it was just lost because it was not supposed to be in that universe at all, or just some crazy shit. Like, it's getting conspiracy theories on fictional stuff is great. Like, you're all over the place.
Cause really all of your information comes from what you see on screen. That's pretty much it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
I love it.
This episode kind of amped things up even more. That teaser was super long.
Yeah.
That was like, I mean, it really was an act, but the way it worked out was actually really, really fucking cool. Because, you know, we come in on Discovery, and that one engineering officer is trying to work on getting the power back in this one deck, and she gets the power back, and then she's like moving down because she hears something, and it's Stannis holding Dr. Colbert's dead body in his hand and talking about the palace, I think, or, like, you know, something about the palace. And I remember watching that going, oh, like, I could just feel my heart kind of sink a little bit, because you're just like, oh, man, of everything that, you know, he's kind of out of it. That's the one thing he knows. Like, you know, he knows there, and he's holding him and stuff like that. It was just like, oh. And of course, you know, they're going to.
That was so sad.
It was. Like,
and I don't think he's coming back.
They said he's not out yet. They said that. So who knows?
Yeah, his corpse is still there.
Yeah, I mean, we could see that.
Or, we'll see. We'll see. You never know. We'll see.
It's Star Trek, of all things, you know.
Right.
You know, space and time kind of thing. So in the episode, essentially, is Michael manages to get the information about the Defiant. But unfortunately, she's unable to send the information to Discovery because, like we used to have, the file is too big. It's like Gmail. The file is too big that you can't attach it to an email. And she can't send it out because it'll be too noticeable and they'll catch her. But what we get before that is Michael's almost soliloquy in the whole beginning of that episode, where she talks about waking up and she can't really sleep, and that the universe has lost its color. I thought that was a great line, that the space has lost its color or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, she goes into how she has to be this person and the fear of losing herself. And one of the things that we see is the execution, where she's standing there watching the execution of those three people that were being tortured with Lorca. And the execution is just, which I thought was weird, but then after a while I was like, no, that seems pretty cold-blooded, you know, beaming them out into space.
It was a cool point that they were making, and it's something that is real, where like an undercover cop will go so far under that you start forgetting who you are and what your ideals are, you know. And it was just heavy, man. Like, it was something that's what I'm really liking, is that this series is becoming really layered and complex.
One of the things that you would never see, like that scene where she allowed those three people to be executed, is something you would never have seen in the original Trek.
Oh, not at all.
You would never see Picard standing there allowing them to do that just because of, you know, because they would they needed to fit in, or Kirk or something like that. Because even in the original Star Trek, Mirror Mirror, you know, Kirk kept stalling them destroying the planet, you know, because that wasn't what Starfleet did. And you see, you know, Michael doing that, and she's kind of like, you know, it's like every moment I keep kind of starting to lose myself. And, and then, you know, she's telling all this to Ash, you know, and, you know, he mentions about, you know, that she is his tether, you know, because of all the things this universe, quote unquote, is making him do. But so at that moment, though, you get Saru, who comes in, and who's this just nameless slave, because she asked his name, and he's like, you know, as a slave, we don't have one. And you're kind of like, ah, damn, Saru is just a butler.
And that's the homie, too. Like, yeah. We're already connected with that character.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of hard to see him like that.
And we know his character is from a passive species, you know, they kind of do things to survive. And of course, that makes sense.
They originated as a subservient race.
Right. And so, you know, she sees him, and then he has a good job there, I gotta say, though. You know.
Yeah.
Helping Michael.
Michael.
And, yeah. Getting. Oh. Yeah. You know, it's like going. I'm like going, really? Is that kind of a demotion? I don't know. I'm kind of seeing it. A little bit of a promotion, you know?
At least interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, you know, she gives him the name Saru, you know, and
right,
because, you know, it's, you know, a name of which is an honorable person that she knew. So,
like an honored friend or something.
Yeah. So then, you know, she gets in contact with Discovery, and I like it because Tilly first pops up, and she's like, in character, she's like, are we alone? And then she's like, yeah, secure channel. She's like, okay. She goes, I'm going to give you over to Saru now. And she's like, you know, stay strong, friend. And then moves, like, because it was just like that quick shift from like who she has to be, and then like, okay, this is me now.
And she was really badass in these episodes, too. Like, she really fell into that shit.
And so, you know, we get that whole information about, you know, her unable to send it, and, you know, and that she has to keep her composure and you know, fulfill that. And then Saru, of course, makes that question. Have you come across any of my people? Because we're, you know, kind of a subservient species. I just want to know if any survive. And then she just like, no, I haven't seen anybody. Cause that would be where it's like, yeah, I saw your counterpart over here. You're like my servant, you know?
Right.
So we get this whole, we get that whole breakdown. And then of course there's the, on Discovery, you know, they secure Stamets because they think he killed Dr. Culber, but, you know, they're not, but Tilly isn't sure of it. And they decide that they're going to use the spore drive to try to bring him back since, you know, she looked at his scans and basically it seems that, from what I gathered, it was something from the spore drive that was utilizing a lot of his neural pathways to keep the connection open. And that in order to restore him, they would probably use the spores to kind of reduce that. From what I gathered, it was a little techno babble.
Yeah, it was a little out there, but the, like, something about his, the way I saw it was his brain became a navigational map.
Right.
And it had gaps in it. And that's what the issue was. Like someone shut down the engine in the middle of a trip and he had no idea where he was. So if they added in those spores, he would be reconnected and it would correct the navigational error. That's what I saw.
Yeah. That's, you know, kind of how I perceived it, right, as well. So they try to use the spores to kind of interconnect, but it goes south. And you know, it kind of really showed Tilly as being kind of not like her character kind of evolved at that point. Like she actually was learning the shit that she's doing and feeling more confident, you know, in who she is and her, you know, and her, and also through her loyalty to Stamets, who wasn't always pleased with her work in the beginning, you know? So it was cool seeing her kind of take charge and kind of like, look, this is, you know, we need to, you know, I need to do this. So they get it. The Shinzo gets orders to that. They found the leader what do they call him? The Klingon Fox or something like that? Or the something Fox.
I don't remember. It was something Fox, but I don't remember.
And that on a planet, he's the leader of the resistance. So Michael decides to go down there and is trying to broker this deal of allowing them to get away because, or finding how the Klingon managed to galvanize the Vulcans, the Talarians and the Andorians and get them together to work together to, you know, to fight against the humans. Because, because in our universe, we already saw that the Klingons were about self-preservation, being who they are, you know, not being subservient to the Federation or to anybody else. So she wanted to find out how this is because maybe they could find a way to get peace in her universe. So it's her and Ash go down to the planet. They get captured and they go to meet the head of the Klingons. And this is where Ash gets a little crazy because he gets brought up and meets himself as Valk, which I thought was kind of cool, you know, seeing him. And he's, you know, like he's talking with Michael and they're going back and forth. And Ash, like when he steps forward, Ash kind of steps back. And you're seeing Ash starting to wig out a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're seeing a lot of the curlish, you know. And then they don't believe her because they, you know, of course, Michael's a human or Terran at this point. And so they bring out the Prophet, who, of course, is Sarek with the goatee. Little throwback to Spock and the goatee, you know.
Yeah, I dig that.
Which was funny because, like, I remember, like, it was so pop culture that even like South Park, when they had that parallel universe episode with Cartman, he had a goatee. He's like 9.
Yeah.
And he has a goatee, which is supposed to show him as being from a parallel world. So he mind melds and then sees, of course, the past with his past with Michael. and is having difficulty comprehending the whole thing, so says that she's okay. But of course, Ash is having all these flashbacks, and he's starting to realize he's Volk. And then shouts out in Klingon that something to the effect of, like, you know, he's going against Kalis's, you know, desires or something like that. And then Volk looks at him and he's like, why are you speaking that forgotten tongue? And then they kind of have a little bit of a hand-to-hand comment. And I started laughing because I was thinking, like, wow, talk about an identity crisis, dude.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool because, like, you hear Volk the way he talked as a Klingon, but then hearing Ash in that same exact voice doing that, I was like, oh, that's really cool.
It was weird, bro. Yeah. It was so cool, though. But it was strange. Like, it kind of was surreal.
Yeah,
because like you were like, what? What's happening?
Because he talks normally and everything, and then all of a sudden there's our Kirlish, you know, our Volk, son of no one. You know, you're just like,
yeah,
you know. And as Adam said, that kind of sounds kind of sad. You know, son of no one.
Yeah, like, Volk, son of no one. Like, aw.
Yeah.
Like, who hurt you?
Yeah, exactly. So, they end up giving them time, because the order for Michael was to lay waste to the planet from the ship, from orbit. But she decides to go down there to give them time to help the resistance move along. But she gives them an hour, and then she also says, I need something in return. So they give her this data crystal that has all the information about all these, the listening posts. But by the time that they get it, you know, it's going to be old. They're not going to really gain anything of value. So at least she has something of now. So they go back to the Shinzo. And this is where shit gets ultra real. So Michael confronts Ash as to what the hell is going on. And he starts off, like, fighting. You could see his, like, he's kind of mentally fighting back and forth. Like, he thinks he feels something for, you know, for that, for Laurel. But then he starts, you know, begins to understand what's going on, and then realizes who he is. And you just see his body shifting back and forth. Like, he kind of, like, his shoulders slump as Ash, but then when he kind of becomes Volk, he kind of straightens up and becomes, you know, stronger.
Uh-huh.
And then eventually you find out that, yeah, he's Volk, and that was the one she fought when he killed Kalish. When she killed Kalish. So, you know, now we know why.
It did, the revelations in it all, too, was so fucking crazy. Like, the look on Michael's face. And it was nuts. Like, she was like, fucking, are you serious?
Exactly. You know, I saved you, and this is it, you know? And, you know, because he's like, you know, that he loves her and stuff like that. And then finally he just kind of, I think it just finally snaps into place. And then suddenly he's just like, you know, you killed Kalish, and, you know, now I'm going to, you know, finish what I started, kind of thing. And then, of course, she's still stunned by everything. And she's, you know, he's got her by the neck against the bulkhead. And then Saru, out of nowhere, just tossed him like a fucking puppet.
Saru was a pimp, dude. This motherfucker, he didn't even look like he fucking broke a sweat. His grandma's like, bitch, fuck out of here. And this was the slave Saru. This right. isn't the one from a main universe.
Right.
Like, I was like, this motherfucker. It was so slick.
Yeah, when he comes in, you just see him toss him all the way over there, and then the guards come running in, and he's like, he attacked the captain, and then they fucking taser his ass. And it was
great.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was just like, I remember going like, fucking Saru, dude, nice, you know. So then, you know, they quickly go to execute Ash, because now he's dealing, his number one, who's the con officer on Discovery, is like, I know you were close to him, but we need to set an example. And she's like, all right, yeah, I get it, set it up. So they go to have the execution. He's standing on a transporter pad, just defiant as hell. And then, you know.
Yeah, he looks smug. He's like, fuck you. I don't give a shit.
And then she goes up and she's like, do you have anything to say? And then he goes and, you know, fucking shouts out something to Klingon. She guts him right there.
Right.
And then beams him out into, she beams him out into space. And he's out there for a quick second. And then all of a sudden he keeps beamed back to Discovery. And Saru is standing there. And I'm like, I was thinking, she told him, I'm assuming, because, you know, they beamed him back. But then Saru, just his, even through the makeup, you just saw that look of like just pure disgust, you know? And because he admitted to Michael that he killed the doctor, killed Dr. Culber. And Saru goes into this, you know, regardless of what we are in this universe, we're still Starfleet, you know, because he says, should have let me die. And he's like, no, you're confined you to the brig until we get, until we get a tribunal for you.
But you know what? I really dug that, because that was the most Star Trek thing that had happened in a long time.
Yeah.
Like he was basically like that was some old school Star Trek ideology shit.
Yeah.
Like he was like, it doesn't matter what you've done. Like we still need to uphold to our beliefs and the way we approach these problems. And I was like, that was fucking dope. Like I would have sent him to space.
But what I really,
that would have solved the problem.
Yeah, I know. But what was really cool was when he reached in his holster pocket and then pulls out the disc. And I was like, she found the workaround. Beam him out into space with the information on the Defiant, and then beam him to Discovery. Then they transferred the information. So I thought that was cool. And just that look on Ash's face when he saw that, he was kind of like, fuck. Like, you know, he helped them. And so, you know, we had that, and then, you know, it's funny because it seems Michael divulged that information, because she has Lorca brought to her ready room, quote unquote, advanced interrogation. So it seems that she tells him what's going on, but he doesn't seem fazed by it. That was another thing that kind of was interesting, because, you know, when I read that thing about him possibly being a mirror, I was like, he doesn't really seem fazed that he was a Klingon, that he brought this Klingon on board.
Yeah.
The ship. You know, because, you know, it was one of those that he entrusted him to be his security, and that he got out of there. And then there was,
you know, he seems like he already knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Like he's almost like he's, you know what it kind of feels like? And I know I'm reaching. It feels like he's from the future. A little bit.
Hmm.
Like he already knows who everybody is.
Well, technically, I mean, we don't really know where that mirror universe takes place.
But we know that Bonk in the mirror universe does not look like a human.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's he knows stuff about the main universe. I want to say our universe, because it's kind of what it's supposed to be, right?
Or Universe Prime.
yeah, Universe Prime. But he just seems to know, either he's pulling so many strings that he already knows, and that's a little bit more believable than he's from the future. But it is Star Trek, man.
Yeah.
Like, he could be from the fucking future.
Yeah.
He knew a little too quick, too, about the Defiant.
Yeah.
A little too quick.
Because that was my thing. I was like, going, damn, they had all that in there, you know? So it was kind of like, And, you know,
I want to see what the Defiant looks like in this fucking show.
I kind of think that he may be looking, he may be using the Discovery to get the Defiant, and then he could use the Defiant to, you know, overthrow the Emperor. It's kind of what I'm thinking, because his thing was to get the Defiant.
Yeah.
So that could be an issue there, where it's like, because here we have different firepower than it has, you know, it's a Constitution class. You know, that he may be using that, because that, I mean, at this point, he has no Starfleet vessel.
But then here's another thing, too. And it was something that I caught, and I thought it was kind of weird. Lorca is essentially the same Lorca in both universes, because the mirror universe is supposed to be mirror. It's supposed to be, you are, if you're a good guy in this universe, you're a bad guy in this one.
But Lorca seemed to be a good guy in the mirror universe too. And that's the only character that I ever remember in Star Trek history like that.
Yeah.
He was trying to overthrow the Emperor because it was wrong what they were doing.
Right.
Like, so that really solidifies the thing. Like, he might be from that universe originally.
But what happened to the original? Maybe the original Lorca didn't escape.
Maybe the original died in that ship.
Yeah.
And then something happened on that ship that made him come from the mirror universe.
Yeah. So.
Oh, man. We don't even have to watch it anymore. We've already figured it out. You know.
And then, of course, you know, the Emperor arrives early and lays waste to the planet. So we don't know if the resistance actually got off the planet or not. And then we get. But before that revelation, we. They think Stamets is dead because of all the neuroactivity, but he comes back. His neural pathways are coming back, and we see him in that spore forest that we only saw glimpses of in the first couple of episodes. And he's walking through this forest, and then all of a sudden you hear, "Oh, it's about time you show." I was wondering if you were going to show up, and he turns, and it's him, and it's the mirror universe him.
Yeah.
Because I saw that uniform. I was like, I go, oh, okay. So it seems that regardless, you know, they're both trapped in there. And then, of course, you know, Michael comes out onto the bridge. And then they go, the Emperor shows up. And it's Giorgio. And I was like, fucking hidden dragon bullshit, man. I told you.
She was dressed to the nines, man.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. So, yeah. So that's the episode. It's getting real good being in this mirror universe, because now it seems that all the threads that we had in the very first half, which always seemed kind of like, where is this going? Like, what's going on? Now it's all paying off.
It's starting to connect.
Yeah. So I'm very intrigued with what's going on.
And we record this show on Sunday night. So I actually have to wait to watch the newest episode. You know, cuz I think it was a good idea that Steve we keep it a week behind, because we don't want to spoil anything. We don't want to.
And by the time,
you know, if you haven't seen it already,
right.
You know,
and by the time this comes out, the new episode had already come out, so it's kind of like, if you already watched the new episode, we're talking about the one prior. So it is kind of old news, but at the same time, it's like, you know, we could do the mini episodes, but at the same time, it's just like, you know, it was like, you know, I think we should just kind of do a full episode on those. And if we're a week behind, it's not a big deal, because, you know, some people, if you don't have CBS All Access or you're waiting for other avenues to see it, you know, it's like, you know, we'll be there. We'll be there in time.
I'll be there to protect you.
And then next week's episode is number 12, Vaulting Ambition. And then we'll after this week's episode, well, this Sunday's, which is tonight's episode, is Vaulting Ambition. And after that, we'll only have 3 episodes left of season 1.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I'm really looking forward to each episode. Now, if they fuck up, and, like, you know, which has been happened, and, you know, you change it, and then, you know, you go, oh, we do this, and it just kind of wipes out everything, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, I would too. But stranger things have happened.
This is true. I mean, we could have a dot 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 dot
dot dot dot dot. I want them to go future into the future, and then I want I want them to do an episode like that DS9 episode where they were in the Tribbles episode from the original series, but do it with next gen.
Oh yeah.
So like blend the tech so they're in there. I want to see Michael as like a comms officer or some stupid shit. I would be so into that.
It would be it would have to be best of both worlds.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the show for this week.
thanks for tuning in. If you like what I'm doing, you have two ways to help out. One, you can make a one-time donation to make this show self-sustaining, or simply feed my pets, either through PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. Check the show notes for details and links. Or two, you can share us on social media or review us on Apple Podcasts. This will make the algorithm gods promote our show to an unsuspecting public. You can also stalk me on Facebook, facebook.com/thelazygeeks1010. On all our other socials, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and TikTok, @thelazygeeks. If you're old school, email me at themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. And if you want to read some news, blogs, or some of my other podcast content, check out the blog at thelazygeeks.com. So that's it for me this week. So until next time, to beam up.